Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shit podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. I am very excited to bring on our guest. Last week, I had somebody come on, Susan Pederm, who talked about finding clothes that fit your body and soul. And I'm really excited today to have a similar type of topic about how to gain more body confidence, even if you feel like your body is not perfect, even if it doesn't look anything like that unrealistic, idealized body image that we are constantly bombarded with out there. Even if you're not feeling the best, even if you are sitting here right now listening going, oh my gosh, like there's no way on this planet that I could ever imagine feeling good in my body or liking my body or even feeling neutral in my body. I really feel like there are ways to work on that. And people ask me all the time how to do that. And so, like I said, last week I had the stylist on who talked about how she helps people do that with finding the right clothes that fit their body. And this week, I'm very fortunate to have somebody on who is going to discuss how photos can do just that for somebody as well. And I know there are so many people out there who absolutely hate their photos. I hear this all the time. People avoid photos. They don't want to be in them. They see a photo of themselves and kind of have this visceral negative reaction. And you know, it's oftentimes sad for me to hear because so often people don't have photos of very big moments and events in their lives or their family's lives. And so while they may have been at events, there's no, you know, memory of them being at that event because they were behind the camera or didn't want to be in the photos. So that being said, I'm going to let our guest talk all about this and more and what he does to help people boost their confidence. Mervyn Reed Nelson, he's the founder of You at Yours, and he leads a transformative photography studio empowering individuals of all body types to embrace their natural beauty. By eschewing filters and Photoshop, the focus is on conquering fears and defying self-doubt through authentic photography. Mervyn's passion for capturing genuine moments creates an environment where individuals discover their unique beauty and strength. Inspired by the prevalence of self-deprecation and insecurities, Mervyn crafted an experience that unveils the true essence of his subject. With over 600 transformative shoots, this journey often reveals an unseen version of themselves. The impact is undeniable and life-changing. All right. Well, Mervyn, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to get into this topic with you. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I mean, what's just come up for me as you said that was like as a guy being invited by a woman onto a platform talking about these kind of things as someone who's a, I guess, a contributor to helping people love themselves. It's a privilege and I don't overlook that. So thank you.
Well, you know, that's interesting, right? So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of avenues we could go down with that. But maybe before, you know, we kind of delve into more of the work that you do, I'm actually curious, how did you get into doing what you're doing?
So I get like, I was shooting weddings and events, but I want to lean into weddings specifically. And I don't know what you guys are like in the States, but here in Britain, we are very self-deprecating. Like, we put ourselves down for fun. Like, give us an inch. You know, if someone was to mention, I don't know, let's say a person was really insecure about their chest size and someone happened to mention, bring an ironing board into the room, they would then make comments about the size of their chest in relation to the ironing board as a, you know, an example, you know. And so I found at weddings and events, being someone holding a camera, which is like the ultimate weapon, right? Most people are terrified of cameras. People, as a form of self-defense or self-protection, would tell you their insecurities in this visceral, quite vile way, as a way of preempting what they think you are thinking about them. So as an example, I'd point my camera at a group and someone would undoubtedly, inevitably say something like, oh, don't point that thing at me. I'm so fat, you're going to have to stand back a mile to get me in your lens or get me in the shot. Or don't point that thing at me. I'm so ugly, it'll break the lens. And, you know, for comedic effect, I want to add, right? People would fall about laughing because that's the culture here. But actually, what that results in is a lot of people disliking themselves and, as far as actually, I'd say, hating their bodies and what they look like. And so that was really tiring for me. I would try and help this person and that person and move around this whole space telling people, no, don't say that about yourself. I'm going to make you feel better about yourself. Well, not make you, but help you feel better about yourself. Look at the back of the camera. Don't you look great? You know, but you do that 50 times, Christina, in a wedding or an event, like, emotionally, I was exhausted. So I just turned my hand to this. I just put all my energy into like trying to help people to see what the rest of the world sees versus what they pick at in the mirror.
Well, I can see how that would be something you'd want to transition to, because it sounds like it's much more positive what you're doing. And so can you describe like how you transitioned from doing weddings into like doing actually what you're doing? How did you do that?
Yeah, sure. So I had a wedding client, actually. It was one of my last weddings, and it was in Dublin in Ireland. And they were from London also, where I live. And she approached me privately. I had a great relationship with them, and she approached me privately to say she wanted to do one of these sexy photo shoots that she'd been looking up, you know, as a gift for her partner. And I say that with inverted commas, you know, a sexy photo shoot. And so she... I said, great, I've never done this before, but, you know, let's have a go at it. She trusted me. She hired a hotel space and we had this amazing shoot. And at the end, she said to me, I do not care what those photos look like. I've never felt like so good in my body and like in touch with myself before, you know, as far as what I'm capable of. And it's sort of like, it was a light bulb moment for me. And I started looking into boudoir photography, which is, you know, a celebration of the body, but usually an element of sensuality and oftentimes with the goal of some form of external validation, a gift for somebody else or photographs for the gram or, you know, things like that. But I wanted to come at it from a place of self-celebration and self-love. So I don't use Photoshop or filters. And yeah, I that was the switch for me. And that was 2018, I think it was now.
And I love that you said you don't use Photoshop or filters, because I think that is something that a lot of people do use, even in their own photos. Mm-hmm. Do people ever request that from you?
Only if they haven't done their research. Like, it is everywhere. It's all over my Instagram, all over my website. If you're asking me to do it, then yeah, you haven't really paid attention. So we do our best to really put off the people that, you know, we're not calling to. And oftentimes that is people who do just want photos of their butt up in the air, you know, for their partner. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But that's not our work. Our work is to give you the confidence to have your butt up in the air anytime you want.
So how do you help people in those photos? Because I was telling you a little bit before we hit record, like, I hear so many times from people in my own life, but also from patients I work with, that they hate looking at photos of themselves. They hate taking photos. They don't want to be tagged in anything unless they see it first. They'd rather be the person taking the pictures than in the pictures, or they want to be the person in the back. Or, you know, if they see a photo of themselves with, you know, a group of people, their eyes dart right to themselves, and they just start like criticizing themselves and, you know, nitpicking every little part of themselves. And it's actually quite stressful, I think, for lots of people, photography in general, like wedding photos or photos for work, headshots, like anything that is coming up, knowing they're going to be, for, you know, in a photo can bring a lot of anxiety for people. How do you help people get to the point where, like you said, they feel very confident and they feel good in their bodies?
It's a great question. There's a whole spectrum of answers here. And in fact, all of them come to play at some point or another with every person I work with. And I'll just touch on a couple of them briefly. But the first thing is, I think many of us, photographs are now, there's more weight on a photograph with how it's going to be viewed by others instead of a memory. And people will sooner delete a picture because they don't like how they look instead of thinking, that was the last time I was with that friend of mine, you know? And that is an undercurrent to what we do here. I say to anyone thinking of booking on our consultation call is that the confidence doesn't come from your pictures. The pictures are a side effect. They are capturing your confidence. The confidence is genuine. That is happening in that space, in that room. And so when someone comes in to see their images, which actually they're often more time, they're not more nervous coming in to see their images than they are going into the space to do the shoot. The fear for them there is all they're going to see are those parts of their body they have an insecurity about, right? Mm. They think they won't see past those issues they have. And so it's a leap of faith. It really is. You have to really want it, and you have to, there's a degree of vulnerability. However, the reality is, one, we've never had anyone not love their images. And we've done this over 650 times now. And the reason for that is people are able to connect with the feeling. They're able to see themselves as someone who's powerful or confident or sexy, if that's the case, before they see the stretch marks or the tummy or the nose or whatever it is they've got an insecurity about. That is still present because, again, we don't use Photoshop, but they're seeing themselves from a completely different angle. And also, that experience gives them a chance to start living again. I had someone come in just yesterday in her late 50s, and she, before she saw her images, she told me about what she'd been doing with her life in the last 10 days. And she's like, I don't even need to see them. I've turned a complete corner with my love life, my career, everything. And that happens often. I'd say 6 times out of 10, people can have the session and just turn a corner. It's amazing. Best job in the world, Christina.
That is amazing. What do you think that's about? Like, what happens in the photo shoot itself that you think helps people turn a corner, as you said?
I think it gives them a chance to feel seen. I think they want to be seen and heard and have their life experience validated. I think that whilst I think cognitively, we all know that other people are going through things, we also emotionally can't get past this sense of isolation with the thing we suffer with, right? So when people come into that space, that is their space. I say it to them, you know, you're coming into my studio or wherever we're shooting, but this is yours. I am a facilitator to you. And so the goal is to first get them to feel a degree of safety, which is, you know, we have a consultation call, we have a coffee before we get started, and then comfort. So, you know, making sure that the aircon's good and they're wearing something that makes them feel good. And then the confidence comes. And it is sometimes with some people like flicking a switch. It's like this thing that's been lying dormant under the surface for years. Mothers especially, I see this with mothers all the time. They've put this thing to rest because they've turned all their attention to motherhood. And then they get this space, which is just for them. And it's like, bang. And it's something that is a beautiful thing to observe, and you can't come back from that. But I think it's mostly just giving them a chance to feel seen and heard without judgment, actually, I will add, Christina, without any form of judgment. It's really important that you make them feel validated in whatever they're feeling and whoever they are.
So you brought up the word safety, so they feel safe working with you. And you did bring up, you know, that you are obviously male. Is that something that's discussed in terms of, you know, the fact that sometimes females might not feel safe or comfortable in front of a male doing this? Or do you have a team that works with you? Like, what's the environment like?
No, it's just one-on-one. I think if you are someone who would never want to be or feel comfortable in front of a man, I'm not the person you would hire. And that's totally fine. Like, I would send you to multiple other people who are doing amazing things like me. But I think from what I know, and I teach nude photography and I mentor photographers, I think, and I get this feedback from clients who go scouring the internet trying to find female photographers in this space. There are plenty of them, but I think because I'm a man, I have levels of transparency that go above and beyond, because I'm aware of that. So I talk about things that perhaps they haven't even thought about. So like there's a whole contract around consent, for example, or the changing room is a space I will never go anywhere near. Or I would say to them on their questionnaire, how far do you want to go? And if that's your limit, let's say you say, I don't know, a bodysuit or lingerie is your limit. Anything beyond that point has to come from you. And so I touched on all these safety points, which is just part of my process. And I think that just helps them drop their shoulders a bit. And to go another level, Christina, and this is the power of women, and I've always said this, you guys need to be running the planet. There are people who have come in, and I don't want to be, this may be somewhat of a trigger warning, actually, but let's just say, you know, people have come in who have had something happen to them because of men.
Hmm.
And they have decided to reclaim that space for themselves. They have actively said, I want to come into this space and be a degree of vulnerability and reclaim that. And that is power, you know. And I take my hat off. I'm humbled and honored for those individuals to be a part of that healing process for them. And they have thanked me too. And I've had their partners and husbands come and shake my hand and say how it's changed their life. So like it's, yeah, I can only be myself, Christina. And I think by me being transparent online, on social media, helps people to break past that.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing that you're sharing that with people, that yes, reclaiming their bodies and having a positive moment with another male in a safe space where they feel like, it sounds like they're really in charge of what happens there and they're in control and they're setting the parameters and the boundaries and you're respecting them, which, you know, for many females, maybe they're not used to that, or maybe they've had their boundaries crossed. So I can see how that's really validating and a really, like you said, a healing process for them.
Absolutely. I would say for some people, it's been a life changer for them in relation to like dating again, you know, and just, and the fact that I'm also straight, you know, I think surprises people. And which is actually quite sad, Christina, because, you know, they're surprised that a straight man would want to be helping women, which tells you the state of the world, right? Like that's a really sad concept to swallow. But like me being a straight man is enough for some people to, and help them through that process is enough for some people to trust again, which is, you know, it's no small feat, and I don't take it lightly. It's a big deal.
Because I think some people do hear, you know, boudoir pictures or pictures like the ones you do, and they just think, oh, these are just sexualized pictures. These are just nude photos. And do you think people have a misperception of what it is that these photos are actually about, or what it is that you're doing in the sessions?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's one of our biggest challenges is the education piece. Just before we started recording, actually, I was on a call with someone. And this happens so many times out of 10, and I can't record enough videos or write about this enough to make any difference to anyone's mind around what they should wear. I'm going to use this as an example. People will say, well, what does everyone else wear? Or, you know, I'm going to go and buy some heels. And I pause them and I say, is that who you want to be in the world? Or are you just doing it because you think that's the script or the wardrobe that you need for this type of, again, inverted commas, sexy photo shoot? You know, I could tell you countless stories of people who've bought suitcases full of things that don't represent them. And I say, leave that in your bag, put on your Doc Martens, right? And wear the thing that makes you feel good, because that's who you are today. And I also say to them, bring me the thing that is sentimental to you, that your friends would recognize as yours if you left it behind at a restaurant or a bar. And on the other end of that spectrum, bring me the thing that terrifies you, the thing that you wish you had the confidence to wear. And that's usually where lingerie comes into it, because most people think that lingerie and being this form of sensual or sexual person is exclusive to those people who walk the catwalks, right? Victoria's Secret has a lot to answer for. And that's not true. And I also think sexy can be whatever you make it to be or whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be lacy or teeny tiny. You know, it's down to you to define. And I help these people to define it for themselves. So that piece is a very hard thing to get across into a world which is driven by the patriarchy and is like taking advantage of women not feeling that way. You know, hands up, I would absolutely love if my job didn't exist. Like, would love that. Like, that's where we want to be. But unfortunately, we live in a world where people are chasing their tail and trying to be something that they're not, and subsequently wasting years and years of their time not living a fulfilled life because they don't fit into a box they think they should. So there you have it.
I love all these things you're saying, and the fact that you get it, you know, being a male, the fact that you're understanding of the pressures and the culture. A lot of women, we all exist in this culture that's very difficult oftentimes and very focused on appearance and having to look a certain way. And I'm wondering, do you ever get males that want to come in and do these kind of shoots, or is it just primarily females?
I do. They are rare. I actually showed someone their photos today. We had his shoot in Lisbon at the start of the year. And he saw them finally today. And it's a certain type of man or a male-presenting person that will do this. I'm not out here trying to change the minds of your average dude who doesn't see the benefit. You know, I've spoken to them enough times and the response is generally, so you want me to pay you to get in a room butt naked so you can take photos of me and it's going to make me feel better? I don't think so. You know, there isn't a connection there. And I think many, you know, women would probably have the same mindset, except the majority of my clients are female because I believe that women often, and I'm generalizing, but I think this is often the case, have a problem and then do something about it. So they see this, they have this feeling come up, and they maybe they hit an age, or maybe their kids have left home, or maybe it's post-divorce, and they want to do something about it, and so they take action, whereas guys will just hope this thing goes away on its own. And so, you know, I would only work with the men who are aware of the problem and want to do something about it. They are the ones that would invest their time and energy in working with me. So they are few and far between, to be honest with you, Christina, but there should be definitely more of them, because I'm a man and I go through my own body confidence issues. And I know as men, certainly in this country, like the things we suffer with are ridiculed, you know, balding, like hereditary baldness is something that is people use as humor, you know, and man boobs and a dad bod and our height and our penis size, these are all jokes to the world, and yet things we have to suffer with. And I say to my female counterparts, imagine I told you your hair just started falling out in your 30s. That would terrify you, you know? So yeah, there's a lot of work to be done around the male body image and body confidence, but I also I'm having to stay within my own capacities here because I can't save everybody.
Yeah, but are you acknowledging what the messages are and what the bigger insecurities are that I think most people come in with, which is great. Why do you think so many people just have an aversion to just not types even of photos you take, but just photographs in general? Why do you think when people see photographs of themselves, they have this visceral reaction that is so negative?
I think it's a lack of control, Christina. I think we live in a world where we're so used to taking photos of ourselves or having a phone in our hands that enables us to have that sense of control, that the minute somebody else has that control, it's really uncomfortable. What do I look like? Where's that photo going? Are you going to tag me in it? What if that has an impact on my career? What if so-and-so sees it? You know, I think there's a lot of emphasis on photographs. I'd actually go as far as saying too much. I say to my clients to be very like mindful of the fact that this is really just a moment in time, literally a millisecond. So if you want to beat yourself up about the bad photo that you don't like, that makes you look silly or awkward, then I think you also have to equally give yourself as much, if not more credit for the millisecond where you look great, right? So you have to be fair. Let's go both ways on that, you know? And yeah, I will add, actually, this may be helpful to the people listening, that there is a cycle when it comes to having your photo taken, which inevitably means you stay in that cycle of disliking images taken of you, which is this. There's so much emphasis and importance placed upon that device, that camera, that phone, that when it's pulled out, your anxiety may, you know, may come up to the surface, or you may start acting anxious or awkward. And so someone's taking a photograph of you, and all you've got in your mind is, don't look awkward, don't look awkward, put your hand somewhere, right? And then inevitably, you're going to look awkward, right? So, and then you look at the photograph and you're like, oh, darn it, look, I look awkward. See, I told you I don't take great photos. Well, what if we went about it another way, and instead we just took all the power away from this device and we said, actually, who do I want to be in the world? I want to be sassy. Then tap into a time that you felt sassy, right? Or confident even. Maybe your boss said, well done on that presentation. Maybe you climbed a mountain once or ran a marathon. There are times and things you've done in your life that make you feel like you're great. Tap into that feeling. And if you allow it to and do it enough times and practice it, that will start coming out in your images, and you'll start caring less and less about what the image even looks like. And that's a bit of advice I'll give.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm wondering your opinion on, or your thoughts on, how all of these filtering apps and apps that can morph bodies and things, like how it's affected people's, I guess, opinions of themselves, or the comparison they do to themselves to other people's, like, photos that they see, not even knowing if they're real or not, or if that's what somebody even really looks like.
Yeah, it's undoubtedly something that is, I don't want to give it a, I was going to say a pandemic, I'd say that's a bit too strong, but the impact it's having, especially on our children and teenagers. There was a study which came out saying that, I think it was something like 7 out of 10 teenagers like preferred how they looked in a filtered photograph, but didn't recognize themselves in the mirror because they are on these apps so often and so frequently. Mm. So like that is the scary part. So, you know, we all have a part to play in this. And even if it's just a button on your phone or on Zoom, you know, Zoom has a beautify button or something like that as well. And it's so easy to just switch it on because we want to appear our best. But the impact that has is that everyone else is doing the same because they can tell you've done it. So they think, okay, well, that person's validated my experience of my own body, so I'm going to do it too. And then before you know it, it's everywhere, which we're already past that line. You know, we're already there. I would say this, that if you're aware of anything or anyone, especially on social media, that you are consuming, so content, things that you watch, and it makes you feel somewhat inferior. So you're seeing this thing and you're not sure whether it's a filter or not, but you're comparing yourself. Those are the profiles and programs and channels you need to remove yourself from. And take some responsibility for that. I'm going to say it. I've stood up in auditoriums and done keynotes, and I've pointed the finger back at people who have said, social media is the reason why I feel this way. It absolutely is. But no one forced you to follow Kim Kardashian, you know, like as an example. Just have a bit of awareness of how you're feeling in these moments and then take action. Like, you can do it. And you'll find that when you start replacing those subjects and those platforms with others, people that perhaps look more like you or live a lifestyle that you aspire towards or whatever the case may be, you'll find yourself being more comfortable in your own skin. And then as a result of that, you'll find yourself not wanting to filter yourself in every aspect, like what you say and also what you look like more often in life.
Well, that's great advice. I heard very similar things about the filtering apps and people really wanting to go into, you know, plastic surgeons and saying, make me look like this. They're saying it's impossible, yeah. Right? And which is so sad.
It's so sad. It's so sad. We're trying to be something that we're ultimately not and cannot ever be. And here's the thing with filters and trends is that they're constantly changing. So are you going to visit the plastic surgeon every few years to keep up with the latest trends? Like, you know, I had a client a few years ago, and I only ever share stories that I have permission to share, I want to add, but and she was a curvy girl, and she decided to go and get some work done, and she had liposuction and had a breast enlargement, and the work she was doing, and power to her, she came to work with me because she wanted to learn to love her scars, because what she found now was her new problem was she wasn't comfortable being naked. So, you know, she had this whole other issue to do with. Beforehand, it was, you know, feeling like she was overweight. That's how she felt. The new challenge is now she has to contend with not being able to wear a bikini or not be intimate with partners. So it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for. It's like, you know, decide, choose your heart, as people often say, you know. And it's an easy thing for me to say, sat here as a man without having these pressures on me. But I think we can choose our inspiration and who, where we allow that inspiration to come through upon us.
So I had one other kind of, it is a question that comes up a lot. People saying that they don't like looking at themselves in photos either, because what they see in the mirror is one version of themselves versus how other people see them is the inverse, like, image of them. What do you think about that?
I would agree. I think it's totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reality is that none of us ever, in any capacity, will ever know what we really look like in the world. A video is still 2D. You know, you can't feel someone's energy or presence or, you know, like, how they move through the world. And these are the things that we love. Like, we communicate through our bodies, we feel energies, we are drawn to people. You know, they haven't got a photograph stuck over their face. You know, like, it's a lot more to us than that. So, you know, be aware that there is a lot more to you than what you see in the mirror, a hell lot more. It's important to, as much as you can, because I think mirror work is actually really powerful, Christine. I'm not going to say mirrors, you know, are bad at all. I think it's the fact that we often look in the mirror and use it as a tool to pick ourselves apart.
Mm.
We stand there and all we're looking for is the thing that is wrong or isn't what we want it to be, instead of going the other way and practicing, okay, my eyes are beautiful, my hair looks beautiful, my whatever the case may be, you know. And I think mirrors can play a very strong part in helping you heal your body image if you use it correctly. But unfortunately, many of us, again, because of capitalism, we've been conditioned to look at ourselves in a way that would enable us to spend more money to fix what's wrong with us. And yeah, I think I can totally hear what those people are saying with the mirror versus photographs. But as I said, something at the top of the program, like, a photo is just a millisecond of time. There could be another photo just shortly after that you might prefer instead. It doesn't represent your value in the world.
Well, it's kind of in the same line of thinking. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, well, I can't speak highly of myself because then that's conceited, or that's like, you know, doesn't look highly on myself. Like, they're afraid to, even if maybe they think, oh, I might look good today or I look beautiful today, they don't want to say that out loud. Because people might judge them, like, oh my gosh, she's so full of herself, right? Which makes me sad to think, like, well, why, what can you maybe speak to the difference between, like, having confidence and, like, maybe self-degrading and, like, what they're so afraid of, which is, like, looking like they're just like maybe too conceited or whatever it is. Because I think there's a big difference.
I totally agree with you. It's such an excellent point. There is a huge difference. I think what you feel and what you have inside of your head is no one else's business, firstly. You know, like it's not for public consumption, as my best friend would always say. And I think we start there. I also want to bring compassion into this as well. Like, we are hard on ourselves. Oh, I don't have this, or I don't have that, and I wish I earned more, whatever the case may be. I bet for most people listening right now, there is something you have right now, whatever it is, that you one day in the past wished you had, and you've moved on from that thing. And, you know, I think the same goes for practicing a degree of self-love. So let me put it another way. So people think that confidence is this thing that you can obtain, right? Either you have it, you don't. If you're lucky enough, you have it. Like it's this thing you have in your pocket. I, from my experience of doing this for years, confidence is, it's not linear. Like, it's, confidence is having the ability, and I'm going to say this really clearly, confidence is being able to accept and respect that your body is going to change. And if you can nestle into that, like strap yourself into that roller coaster and know that factually, today you may feel great, 100%, but tomorrow you may not, and that you will come back round to feeling great again at some point. You know, if you can nestle into that, everything else is a bonus. And I think that's the sort of compassion piece I'm speaking to here, like just being aware that not everything needs to be 10 every day. And if it's a 2, that's a normal human experience. You know, I just want to stress that, because I think that's a massive part of what you were speaking to there.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you for clarifying that too. Because I do think so many people put so much of their value and worth and, to your point, confidence or happiness even on their appearance and needing to look like this ideal, unrealistic body, but just like, we're bombarded with like, if I don't look close to that, then I can't be confident, or I can't say I'm beautiful, or I can't say I'm attractive, or I can't, you know, nobody else is going to find me that way. So it sounds like with the work you're doing, you're helping people to feel a certain way about themselves, regardless of what they actually look like.
Totally. And you know, on the confidence piece, the people that I've met who are the most confident, they're the ones who have been unfortunate enough or fortunate enough, depending on how you look at it, to have gone over or looked over, peered over the cliff edge of life. They've had something happen in their life that was maybe, you know, challenging or hard, and they've managed to come back from that, be it a health scare or something traumatic, maybe. You know, I would never want to say it's fortunate it's happened, but I think you get the point I'm making, right? Mm-hmm. But they are the ones who live, they are the ones who are able to be free, and the rest of us are still shackled by this level of expectation. And it's really sad. Like, for me, like, giving people that time and that energy to see their value, who they are. Like, for years, actually, Christina, for years, I thought it was the pictures. I'll be honest. I thought, I'm going to show these people a mirror that they cannot argue with in the format of a photograph. You can't tell me you don't look happy or confident or whatever in that image, right? And then I realized, actually, the photos have nothing to do with it whatsoever. And like I alluded to earlier, people can come in, have this session, and never see their photographs and turn a corner. And the analogy we use, I touched on a roller coaster earlier, the analogy we use here when we're explaining to people what this is so they get it, it's like queuing up for a roller coaster. Right now, Christina, you're thinking about getting on this ride and you're outside the theme park. You're like, okay, I'm going to buy a ticket, and you decide to book in a shoot with me, right? And then you queue up and you're feeling kind of giddy and you're texting your friends about what to wear. And then you get to the front and then you feel sick. Like, you think you're going to die, right? And then you get on this ride and then you text your mom and you're like, Mom, it's the last time you're ever going to hear from me. Take care, you know. And then the ride takes off. And before you know it, you're having a wild time. You're screaming, your hair's all over the place. You're enjoying yourself. And then someone takes a picture. You don't know when it happened. You don't know how it happened, but you're just so embodied in what you were feeling. You didn't even care. And then at the end, you get off the ride and you text your friends and you're like, that was incredible. You need to do this too, you know, and then you walk on over to the kiosk and then you have a look at the photographs. And that is this process in a nutshell. You know, it's really, I've completely lost my point, but I figured I'll share that with you anyway.
Oh my gosh, you're funny.
I was trying to loop back there and I was like, what am I looping back to? I've completely forgotten.
Well, I think we're talking about confidence and like, and not really being about like having to look like whatever, a certain way that society says you have to look, right?
Yeah. It's going on your own journey. I think that's kind of what I was alluding to. Like, if you can be confident enough to not be directed like by what others have done, if you can be intentional, I guess is what I'm saying, about who you want to be in the world. And again, it's no one else's business. Mm-hmm. If you decide you want to, I'll tell you another story really briefly. I had a lady come in and she had, it was off the back of a very long relationship and they'd separated. And she had always wanted to experience, I think I can share this with you, Christina, but BDSM, right? She'd always been curious about that world. And she came in for this session and the shoot was nothing at all to do with any of that. But she wanted to find some confidence in herself to maybe go out dating again. Months later, she was an A&E nurse and she sent me a text message randomly. She's like, hey, Merv, I hope this isn't inappropriate. And it was a picture of her selfie and she was in a bathroom, I assume. And she pulled her scrubs to one side and she had this like leather harness thing on underneath her scrubs, you know. And what that represented, I cried. Mm. What it represented was this person was creating a life for herself, which was for nobody else. And she was finding her own path. And it's nobody else's business, like who you want to be and how you want to get there, unless, of course, it impacts them. So, yeah.
It sounds like you're really helping a lot of people in so many different ways. You know, it's much more than just photos, like you said, what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is why I really wanted you on here, because I think people do have this idea of, you know, these photos of what we talked about before, just one thing. And I'm wondering, I mean, obviously you're not in the States. So, I mean, are there people that you know of out here doing photos in the way you're doing them? Or are you very unique in the way that you go about it?
No. I used to know someone, but they quit relatively recently. They no longer do it. They're turning their attention to education. But I do get people coming over from the States all the time. I had a couple come in from Denver last week. So I'm working with someone from Chicago next week. So, you know, they kind of have a little holiday and they tie in, they come and hang out with me. So if anyone does want to visit London, then do come and say hi. I do agree. I think it's quite niche. And because of that, Christina, I have to really find my people. You know, it's not something anyone searches. No one goes into Google and says, body confidence photography, you know, it's not a search. So I have to work really hard to get people to look beyond the photographs sometimes, which is quite difficult because they're beautiful.
Well, to that point, you know, if somebody does want to find you, work with you, how can they do that?
Type in you at yours everywhere, as in the word you, Y-O-U, and then A-T-Y-O-U-R-S, anywhere on the internet. I think you'll find me apart from Snapchat and Twitter. I'm not on either of those places, but I think I have a presence pretty much everywhere, which is quite tiring, actually, but it's for a good cause, so I don't mind it.
Wonderful. Before we end, any last final words for anyone listening who may be struggling with body confidence right now and feeling like there's no way on the planet I could ever think about taking photos like this, maybe something that could maybe, you know, be a seed in their mind to shift something.
I can share something. I'll leave with a really fun, quite beautiful story. And it was of a woman who I think, again, she was maybe in her 40s or 50s, and she booked this session with me, and she filled in the questionnaire. And I alluded to this earlier where I said, you know, there's a section about how far you want to go. So she ticked the box for conservative, right? She's like, you're not going to get any skin out of me, friend. Great. I was totally fine with that. And she went through the session. And by the end of this session, Christina, this person was doing star jumps on the bed, butt naked. And I mean, like, her boobs were clapping in the air like this, right? And it was like the most joyous thing to witness. And I'm sharing this with you because of this. When she came into the office some weeks later, I showed her this image. And it wasn't a flattering image. This is what I want to stress. It was not a flattering image at all. And she cried her eyes out with pure happiness because she said that was the moment when I felt most free in my body. Mm. And the point I'm making is there is happiness in moments that go way beyond what you look like in a photograph. So create the moments and capture them as memories. This isn't just about what you look like on the internet. This is about living. This is about love, family, connection. I just want to leave on that.
That's wonderful. Thank you again so much for being here. Really appreciate everything you said and taking the time to be here.
Thank you, Christina. Pleasure.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.